everybody. It's great to be together. We're going to worship our God today. This is my friend Aiden. He's going to lead us.
Come on, let's sing together.
Come, let us worship our King. And come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcome. He has done great things. Has done great things.
Come on, let's sing this chorus.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken the life. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, have done great things.
Come on, you've been faithful.
You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. And you have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your yes and amen, you will do great things.
God, you do.
God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great.
Come on, sing that with me, say.
And hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great.
One more time, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, God, above it all. Searching for answers.
hardly speak, and peace so unexplainable I can hardly think as you call me, and deeper still as you call me, and deeper still as you call me, and deeper still in the
my soul needs a friend.
Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In our church family, as it is in heaven. In our students' lives, as it is in heaven. In our kids' church, as it is in heaven. In our local community, as it is in heaven. In our world, as it is in heaven. And God, I pray that as your kingdom comes, whether people are worshiping online right now or indoors in person this weekend, they would be transformed by your kingdom coming in their lives. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Welcome, everyone, and we are so glad you are with us today for CA Students Weekend. A special welcome to any guests and visitors joining us. It's also Memorial Day weekend, so we want to express and give thanks for those who gave their lives serving our country in the military.
This Monday, we're having a car wash to help support students going to camp. Come get your car cleaned and help students have a life-changing experience at summer camp. It will be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the South Campus parking lot. And by the way, our summer camps have over 140 students registered.
Our indoor services resumed last weekend, and it was great to be together. We have exciting news to share that we're adding a Saturday 6 p.m. indoor service starting next weekend on June 5th. So we'll have three indoor service times, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:15 a.m., all in the South Sanctuary. You can RSVP online to grab your spot. Also, our 678 student program will be on Saturdays at 6 p.m. starting next weekend. No need to RSVP for 678. Our program for high school students will remain on Wednesday nights.
We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. Thank you for your generosity.
I've definitely just been so encouraged by that the community is still so engaged and we're still so running after the Lord together.
I'm so glad I was able to come over here and meet all these new people because they've been a great impact in my life, especially all the leaders and students I've met.
One way is it's really, really been a blessing to me to be with the students and see them worshiping. You can really see their genuine passion for the Lord and their joy in worshiping Him.
Seeing students come week after week to life groups, come to program, to meet with God has been super encouraging.
Whenever I enter life groups, the stress that I have going into it are just completely gone by the time I go out.
It lifts up my spirit every week, and not just on Wednesdays, but throughout my week as well.
It is definitely a very encouraging place.
God has met me through small moments when I felt really blessed, and sometimes I would just sit there and a lot of these doubts would come in, but then God would remind me my worth, and God would remind me that I don't have to worry, that I don't have to fight for myself, but that God would fight for me.
It's been growing closer in those intentional relationships. I've just been able to turn to a leader for wise advice or turn to a friend for prayer and ask for that, and that's really guided me through times that have been hard for me this past year.
Since God loves me, I know that I don't have to fear, you know, about what other people think of me. So I think my self-esteem is higher because if God is for me, who can be against me?
I would say to keep persisting and keep with your relationship with God and keep trying to go deeper with Him because He will reveal Himself and He will satisfy you more than you can imagine. And just remember that in your times of crisis and battle, that you don't end in that battle, but you end in victory with and through God.
I know that Jesus loves you and He really wants to help you, and may God be with you.
Well, isn't it great to see some testimonies of God's faithfulness to our students in this past season? Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Well, I just want to say welcome, everyone. My name is Jake. I'm one of the youth pastors here at Christian Assembly. Let me add my welcome to Heather's and Noelle's. Just so thankful to be with you today. I'm just excited for today. Whether this is your first time or you've been with us many times, welcome. We're so glad you're with us. Thank you, CA, for being a church that so values students and the next generation. We feel your love, your care, and your support. Thank you so much. Well, a lot of you will know that we've been in a teaching series going through the book of 1 Peter. And for CA Students Weekend, I want to take a look at a theme that's important to Peter and to the rest of the authors of the New Testament. But first, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had something in your future that has caused you to live differently in your present in preparation? Have you had something in your future that's caused you to live differently in your present in preparation? Something that comes to my mind is when I knew that I wanted to marry my now bride, Noelle. I knew I wanted to make the day that I asked her for her hand in marriage special. Ready, set, plan. There was some serious preparation and intention that went into making that day special. Turns out, Noelle and I grew up going to the same beach, even the same lifeguard stand. And so I knew after a special date day, I wanted to ask Noelle to marry me at that lifeguard stand. We had friends and family get it all ready, get it looking nice. And then we had a photographer there to capture the moment. It was awesome, mainly because she said yes. But there was some intention and preparation that went into that day because I was looking forward to this special day. What are some things that are coming to your mind right now? I think of the students that I work with that they live differently in preparation for a day when a test is coming. And ultimately, they live differently than they otherwise would, knowing that graduation day is coming, right? I think of my brother Levi and his wife, Kayla, when they found out that their first baby, my niece, Glory, was on the way. They started living differently than they otherwise would have in preparation for the day when beautiful Glory arrived. Maybe there's a birthday of somebody in your life coming up and you want to make it special, so you live differently in preparation. Maybe a job's been on hold or a new job has come. Maybe you're anticipating a challenge or something, and that's causing you to live differently in the present in preparation for a future day that's coming. CA Church family, as I was praying and thinking about what do I have the opportunity, the privilege, and the honor to share with the CA Church family, what came to my heart and my mind is that we would be a people that hear the call of God through the scripture writers to recognize and prepare for a day like no other day. It's the day that changes everything. It's the day when Jesus will return. Jesus Christ's second coming. The day we see Jesus face to face. Listen how Peter talks about it in chapter 1. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. God's word calls us to set our hope on what will be revealed on that day of grace. What God has in store for us has already begun in ways that hint at what the future holds, but every single one of us faces eternity. The question is, how are we preparing for eternity that is coming? The main point I wanted to share with you today is this. Living with eternity in mind can change the way you live today. We're going to explore that together. But before we do, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you revealed yourself in Jesus. And then you gave us your word to know you. God, I pray that you would help us to set our heart and our minds on what your word calls us to, and that that would change the way that we live today. Thank you for your love. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Living with eternity in mind can change the way you live today. I love a passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul describes living with eternity in mind and how it changed how he lived in the present moment. I want you to hear his words, but it's important to understand the context of what's going on. The context of the passage is one in which Paul and his co-workers are experiencing great suffering for the sake of the gospel. I'm talking sufferings like beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, being slandered, their concern for the churches. These are intense. Yet Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And I want to ask, how, Paul? How did you have all those but nots in that sentence? He writes in verse 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Living with eternity in mind, he really describes it in verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Here it is. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, please don't make the mistake that Paul is, you know, just living in some pie in the sky reality, denying, suppressing what's really going on. He recognizes what's going on, but his focus is set by eternity and by his faith. Paul's not saying the physical is bad. He's saying, listen, there are things, real things, that we can only see by faith right now that aren't temporary. They're eternal. They're going to matter forever. And there are these things that seem so overwhelming that are seen right now, but they're temporary. And to know that, to understand that, to believe that changes how we live today. Maybe a simple illustration will help briefly. I've got a rope here. Imagine that this rope just goes on forever. Goes back and forth to the sun an infinite amount of times. My mind's already blown. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. See this little blue part right here? That represents your time on earth as you know it now. And CA Church family, the temptation is to think and believe and to focus on just this little blue part and live life like just this blue part is all that there is to our existence. But God's word encourages us to have an eternal perspective and say, what's going to matter for all of eternity? Think about how many of these little blue parts could fit in this infinitely long rope. All of them, right? Paul says, I keep my eyes fixed, not just on the blue part, but on what's going to matter for eternity. For eternity. CA family, what would happen if we were so anticipating, excited, ready for, and rightly focused on what truly matters for eternity? It would so change the way we live today. And I want to tell you four biblical truths God has given us about eternity that can change the way we live today. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, this has been God's plan all along. You were made for eternity with God. Do you ever feel small and less than significant in this life? Do you ever wonder, is there really purpose to all of this? And even more so, is there purpose to this, my life? I remember a moment when God convinced me that he had purpose for my life. It was a pretty regular day at Azusa Pacific University. I was overlooking this parking lot, kind of at this little garden area, having a little quiet time. And I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And there was this line where God just came and boom, spoke to me. This line said in the book, it said, God loved you so much that he didn't want to spend eternity without you, so he died for you. Boom. I felt like God just spoke to me, and I thought to myself, if this is true, then that changes everything. If I was made for eternity with God and everybody else was made for eternity with this good and gracious and loving God, I gotta help people know this God. Living with eternity in mind, knowing that I was made for eternity with God, changed the trajectory of my life. And now, that may sound like I just read something in a book and believed it, but I do believe it. And I don't just believe it because I read it in that book. I read it because I believe it. I believe it because I read it in the book, the scriptures, the Bible. I think of God's word that says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All over the scriptures that show that we were made for eternity with God. I see it in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. I see this in Ephesians 1, 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. The authors of these two passages were writing to those who've put their faith in Christ, but the offer to salvation in Jesus is open to all. And what exactly do I mean by eternity with God? Jake, what are you talking about? Like, what is this going to be like? Because I want you to know, I'm not just talking about eternity in terms of quantity. I'm talking about quality. Eternity is not just going to be long. It's going to be full. It's deep. And I'm going to give us some words. They start with R. Hopefully they'll help us remember. There's another R. Number one, relationship. Relationship. The day we see Jesus face to face, can you imagine it? Imagine it. The lover of our souls, the satisfier of our souls, the one who died for us, finally face to face in perfect relationship. Wow. Relationship, number one. Second R, resurrection life with resurrection bodies. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he wasn't some misty, immaterial spirit. He had a resurrection body. He was Jesus, though it was changed. And the hope in the scriptures for those in Christ is that death is not the end, but we will be raised with real, though changed, physical resurrection bodies in resurrection life. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's a hope to have. Number three, release. I love that verse in Revelation that talks about how one day he'll wipe every tear. All sin and suffering will finally be over. Imagine life in a body that doesn't deteriorate, in a world that doesn't deteriorate, where all sin, suffering, injustice, strife, disease, war, evil, gone, done forever. But we're not done. Dare I forget number four, the fourth R, the reunion that eternity will be for all who've gone before in the faith. The saints from years gone on, all together in perfect harmony and unity. What a party. What a celebration, never again to be separated. Fifth, reward. For those in Christ, we'll receive a reward in accordance with how we've lived our life. Hebrews 11 talks about how God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For those in Christ, we need not fear the judgment because Christ has paid for our sins. And he's given us his righteousness. How amazing that we'll be rewarded in eternity for how we've lived on this earth. Sixth, reason. Reason. Just a reminder, eternity is not going to be boring. I love my precious younger sister, Emmy. One time she was really young. She was probably, you know, 6 years old or something. And she shared something precious to me. She said, Jake. I said, yeah, Emmy. Jake, I don't want to go to heaven. Tell me more, sister. She's like, I just don't know if I want to sing forever. And we had this good conversation about it, and praise God, Emmy wants to go to heaven now, and she's going to heaven. She's given her life to Jesus. But let me tell you, we're going to have things to do. You see, God ordained work and purpose. They were a reality before the fall. We're going to have purpose and a reason to be in eternity, worshiping God forever. Why is eternity with God something to look forward to. My words fall short. Search the scriptures, but it's never-ending relationship, resurrection, release, reunion, reward, and reason. These things are worth pondering. They're worth meditating on. If you choose to believe, it's worth celebrating. And that leads me to my next point. Second, God's word tells us that eternity involves a choice, with or without God, and that choice matters today. Have you ever made a choice that had bummer consequences in your life? How about a choice that brought blessing into your life? I remember a choice I had when I was in college again, and I was deciding if I was gonna go on this missions trip, and I was invited by some acquaintances at the time. But I knew that these were some of the most passionate Jesus followers that I knew. And I thought to myself, I had this choice, and I was like, you know what? I think if I go and spend this time serving with them, I think they're gonna rub off on me, and I'm gonna know Jesus in a whole new way. And I made the choice to go on that missions trip, and God just met me in such an amazing way, and I knew the Lord in a different way because of them. But I didn't have to go. I could have stayed back, and I'm so thankful that God helped me make that choice. John 1:12 talks about a choice. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who received him, not to those who rejected him." We see throughout scripture that God gives humanity the dignity of choice. And what this means is that we must choose how will we respond to the living God, Jesus Christ, and the facts about his life, his death, and his resurrection. Because Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, the only name in heaven and on earth by which people can be saved, our choice regarding him determines where and with whom we spend our eternity, either with God or without him and all that he offers. Have you received Jesus, the living God, the lover of your soul? Have you put your trust in him? I'm definitely going to give you a chance to do that before we're done today. But remember, this is about a relationship. I love the relational focus we see in John 17:3 that says, "Now this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." What a verse. This is eternal life, that they know God. And let me tell you, God is not indifferent about what you choose. 1 Timothy 2:4, among other verses, declare, "God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He proved it when he died on the cross and then rose from the dead." Third point about living with eternity in mind. Living with eternity in mind clarifies my priorities today. Eternity is such a gift. Remember the rope. If I know what's going to matter forever, that's going to change how I prioritize my life in that little blue part, right? I like to go to two great things that Jesus said to help have a clarifying reminder of what matters most. First, the great commandment. In Matthew 22:37-40, when a teacher of the law asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, Jesus responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And the second great thing, the great commission. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Love for God. Love for neighbor. Helping others come to know the love of God and to love God. Here's some of what that looks like. Doing our jobs faithfully, or our studies, students, faithfully, with integrity for the love of God and neighbor. That matters for eternity. Living out self-sacrificing love in our relationships matters for eternity. Forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration matter for eternity. Works of justice and mercy motivated by love matter for eternity. Evangelism, inviting people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father, matters for eternity. Think about how we spend our time. What holds our attention? What are we worried about? What are we prioritizing? How does eternity factor in to those decisions? You see, it's the testimony of Scripture that our choices in this life echo in the life to come. How we live and love here impacts the eternal future for us and for others. There's continuity between the present and the eternal future. This reality is astonishing and motivating. As 1 John 3:3 says, all who have this hope purify themselves just as he is pure. One of the clearest dimensions of this reality to me is evangelism. Thank you, CA, for teaching me to believe God's word, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, the only way to the Father. Thanks for being a church that says God's grace compels us to lead the spiritually convinced and the unconvinced to complete commitment to Jesus Christ. CA, if we truly believe that people can only be saved through a choice to trust in Jesus, does that not change the way we live our lives today? Does that not make evangelism a priority in each of our lives? Does that not change the way we pray for opportunities and then for boldness to share the good news of Jesus with people in our lives for whom Christ died to save? The hope of eternity doesn't just encourage us to prepare. It compels us to plead with people, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, be reconciled to God. It motivates and fuels our evangelism. Oh, dear church family, living with eternity in mind can change the way you live today. The fourth point, living with eternity in mind gives us endurance through our temporary sufferings and hardships. You know, I was thinking about how for so much of history for humankind and so many places today in this world, so many of you have experienced so much suffering, and life is hard. And the writers of the Bible, they knew suffering, and they knew hardship, and so often they point to a future hope to endure. My 95-year-old grandpa, his favorite quote, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. When there's something to look forward to, there's strength to endure. I think of Jesus in Hebrews 12 when it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I love what Paul says in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul knew that Jesus had secured for him eternity with God. It's already there. Paul is already on his way to receive all that God offers in eternity to those who trust in Jesus. Yes, there are momentary troubles, but Paul knows what has been secured for him in eternity. He knows that Christ Jesus has already taken hold of him and he'll never let go of him. Yes, today may have troubles, but with eternity in mind, we can press on. How can eternity help you endure today? Maybe in a relationship that God's calling you to love sacrificially in, can hope for eternity strengthen you and give you endurance? In that area where you're tempted to give in to sin, can the hope of eternity and what will matter there strengthen you and give you endurance? In that space where you feel called to share your faith, can the hope of eternity give you strength and give you endurance? In that circumstance where you see an injustice, can the hope of eternity and what will matter there strengthen you, give you endurance to take action in your suffering, in your pain? Can knowing that you will soon see and be with your Savior, the lover of your soul, strengthen you and give you endurance? In light of eternity with Jesus, I press on, as Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. As we wrap up, I want to encourage you. You can make a decision to start living with eternity in mind today. Maybe there are three groups of people listening right now. The first group, those of you who would say, yes, this is how I am living. I'm living with eternity in mind, and it's changing the way I live today. I just want to say, way to go. Keep going. Keep pressing in. Keep diving into the scriptures and keep living with eternity in mind. Way to go. Maybe there are some of you that would say, yeah, I've got a relationship with Jesus, but gosh, I realize that I've gotten distracted by temporary things and temporary concerns, momentary troubles. And I want to renew my focus on what matters for eternity. I want to say to you, today is your day. As Paul said in that Philippians verse, the one thing I do, I press on toward the goal, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead. And the third group would be those of you who have never decided to place your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The first and most important way to prepare for that day when Jesus comes back is to trust him with your salvation, to trust that what Jesus did on the cross is enough to pay for your sin, to give your life to him. I want to give you an opportunity to make the decision to make Jesus your Savior and your Lord right now. If you want to do that, you can pray this prayer with me even now. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to forgive me of my sins. I recognize I need a Savior. Would you be my Savior? Would you come and have my heart? Would you help me to trust you with my whole life? I declare you're my King, and I will follow you even into eternity. If you made a decision just now to follow Jesus, I just want to say, woohoo! Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. There's going to be an email on the screen. You can go ahead and email that, and a pastor will follow up with you. To us all, eternity is coming. What would it look like for us as a church to be fully engaged in and prepared for that day like no other day for eternity? Let's see the lost saved. Let's pursue acts of justice and mercy. Let's love people, those easy to love and those hard to love, even our enemies, as Jesus calls us to. Let's forsake sin and its temporary pleasures. Let's forsake bitterness and unforgiveness. And let's forsake comfort when it compromises our obedience to Jesus. As we close, I want to leave you with these words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 through 18. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let's say a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. God, I just pray that you would, as that 1 Peter verse talks about, that we would live with a sober mind, fully alert and ready, and setting our hope on that day when you come, when you return, Jesus. Help us to do that. Lord God, we need your help to live this way. We need your Spirit. So would you pour your Spirit out upon us as we seek to live with eternity in mind? We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome day, CA.
Oh, and even in the valley of the shadow of death, you will never change. My God, you remain the same. Oh, and even when the battle rages, you're right next to me. God, you will never leave, 'cause you're the reigning King. Let's sing, I wanna know you more. I wanna know you more. I wanna love you more. I wanna hunger more for you. Again, again, I wanna know. I wanna know you more. I wanna know you, Lord.
I wanna love you more.
I wanna love you, yeah.
I wanna hunger more for.
Sing his name, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you are my one desire. My one desire. My one.
Oh, sing it again, sing it again.
Jesus,
you.
Thank you for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. Email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Let me close with this benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.